Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. My guest is Mohammed El Arian. He is a chief economic advisor at Allianz and former CEO and co-chief investment officer at PIMCO. His new book is The Only Game in Town, Central Banks, Instability, and Avoiding the Next Collapse, which was just released in January. And to hear this interview again and get more information, don't forget to join the conversation at onthemoneyradio.org. Mohammed, in your book, you quote the great investor Howard Marks, and he was expressing concern, among other things, that the next risk to emerge, we had talked in the last segment about the banks being okay, might be in this area of these index funds, the ETFs. Can you tell us what you think about them and what you think the risks may be in the future?
ETFs are very powerful investment instruments. They allow you to get a diversified exposure to segments of the market, and they give you the impression that you have instantaneous liquidity, because they are priced on a high-frequency basis and are people making markets. So unlike a mutual fund, you don't have to wait till the end of the day to sell it. You don't have to wait till the end of the day to find out how much it's worth. You can do that during the trading session. But there are two elements of an ETF that an investor must never forget. One is you have no choice. You're buying the whole basket. It's a little bit like going to a restaurant, and you can't choose from the menu. You're going to get the whole menu. So you get some good dishes, but you also get some bad dishes. So you have to be able to digest the bad dishes. And sometimes the bad dishes contaminate the good dishes. Mm-hmm. So the first thing to realize is that you are buying a whole menu, and that doesn't always make sense. For example, today, you want to differentiate much more than what an ETF gives you. The second element of an ETF is that it gives you not just the illusion of liquidity, but it turns it into a delusion. As we've seen, whenever the market has corrected sharply, if you try to get out, if many people try to get out of an ETF at the same time, they will do so at quite a cost. And therefore, the liquidity that you think you're getting is coming at a high cost to you.
What do you mean a high cost?
Meaning that you will pay an enormous bid-offer spread. And in some cases, in the more exotic parts of the markets, you may find that that bid-offer spread is prohibitive.
So if the basket of investments are worth X because of the illiquidity, then you may get X minus something, not exactly what it's worth.
Yep. And that minus could be 10%.
Oh, boy.
It's a meaningful number.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen that. Another example of that is one of the mutual fund, Third Avenue, had to shut investor access to their capital. Very unusual for a mutual fund. Why? Because they had the same problem that can occur with these more exotic ETFs, the problem of illiquidity.
Yeah.
You simply cannot get a market. So I think you have to be careful. There are places where ETFs make a lot of sense, if you're betting on the S&P, for example. And there are other places where they make a lot less sense, for example, in the high-yield market for corporate debt.
Yeah. So watch out for some of these more esoteric areas that are not quite so liquid and deep, because they're fine when things are fine, but when things turn sour, you may find yourself in a bit of trouble.
Absolutely correct.
You know, everybody's worried about the economy, the global economy. I hear this day in and day out. Does gold have any place in these discussions as a safe haven?
It does, and it has been an unloved asset because there was excessive romance previously. So coming out of 2008, people looked at gold and romanced it, and we took the price too far. And now we are at the end of a period of massive adjustment. And gold has gone from being overly loved to being massively underappreciated. And now I think it's getting back to its place. And I think most investors would do well by having gold up to 5% in their portfolio as a strategic allocation. Why? Because it is negatively correlated to a number of other things that are very difficult to protect against.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you have 3% of gold in your portfolio, I mean, is that enough to make a difference?
So every percent makes a difference, and think of it as part of diversification. So if you have the 25 to 30% cash that we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. and then have on top of that a 5% gold, you actually have quite a bit of resilience. And that's what you need.
Resilience.
I'll go back to this combination of resilience, agility, and optionality. That is what you want to have as an investor, as a global economy and global markets head to the T-junction.
So capital preservation right now you feel is the main goal that people should strive for?
For two reasons. First, the world is unusually uncertain and we are slowly exiting a period of experimentation that we don't fully comprehend. Certainly the Fed doesn't fully comprehend. I'll give you an example. In their latest statement, they refrained from giving their usual guidance on the balance of risks facing the economy. So the most powerful central bank no longer feels in a position to tell us what the balance of risks is for the U.S. economy. That's a consequential statement, and it's one that we should hear and internalize. So that's the first reason why. The second reason has to do with human behavior. When we are not resilient, we end up doing the wrong thing. And investors in particular often fall victim to bad behavioral reaction when fear increases.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So it's really important to use structure, and in this case, use the ability to have safe assets as a way to limit the risk of making a behavioral mistake.
You quote Andy Haldane, and this is one of the most wonderful quotes in the book, and I'm going to paraphrase here. He says, "Today the growth picture is foggier. We have fear about economic stagnation, and at the same time, we cheer about all of this technological innovation that we're experiencing. The economic tailwinds from new technology are very strong, but so too are the sociological headwinds. Buffeted by these crosswinds, future growth risks become suspended between the mundane and the miraculous." And I can tell you, Mohammed, that's exactly how I feel. What is your opinion on that?
And I love that quote because it speaks to this T-junction. And it's from someone, Andy, who is at the Bank of England, who's one of the most thoughtful people out there. And it speaks to your reality, my reality. Our world is being shaken from above and from below. So we've been speaking so far about being shaken from above. But we are also being shaken from below. Uber, Airbnb, they are all enabling us to do things that we never thought we could do before. They are empowering individuals in a way that has never done. And they are changing the landscape. Let me give you a simple example. The Hilton chain, it took them 100 years to provide 700,000 rooms to their client. And they had to do that by building hotels, by managing hotels. Airbnb, in 6 years, has been able to provide 1 million rooms. Mm-hmm. 100 years, 700,000 rooms, but you have Airbnb, 1 million rooms in 6 years, and they haven't built a single hotel.
Right.
They are disrupting the world and enabling us to rent out rooms if we want, to find rooms in a much easier way. I can name one innovation after the other that's been enabled by this amazing combination of technology, mobility, and the internet. But every time you enable someone, you also disrupt someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have this mixture depending on which side of the equation we're on. And most of us actually on both sides of the equation.
Well, to find out more and to hear this segment again, and I recommend Mohammed's new book, The Only Game in Town, Central Banks, Instability and Avoiding the Next Collapse. Join the conversation at onthemoneyradio.org. Mohammed, thank you so much for your time. You've been very generous and gracious. Once again, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to On the Money with Certified Financial Planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.